This episode of She Explores is brought to you by OtterBox, crafters of durable outdoor gear to support your time outdoors. With hard and soft coolers, tumblers, growlers, duffels, and dry boxes, you can protect your gear while keeping your food and drink just the right temperature, which definitely helps make any adventure more fun. Stay tuned for later in this episode when I share more about our experience with OtterBox in person at Outdoor Retailer in Denver, Colorado. Learn more at otterbox.com. That's otterbox.com. I'm Gail Straub, and you're listening to She Explores.
You know, I remember when I found out I was pregnant, and even when Huck was just a few months old, I felt like there was a lot of can'ts. Like, I can't go climb up this mountain, or I can't, like, I'll never be able to ski like this again. And having kids really taught me to look for all of the cans, to learn how to be creative, and to learn to see how much you really can do. A lot of times it means, you know, I'm getting up later, or I'm getting up earlier to go run, or going to the climbing gym later at night, or adventures look different. But I think, you know, being a parent and being an adventurous parent really teaches you to find everything you can do.
A little over a month ago, at the Outdoor Retailer Trade Show in Denver, Colorado, we collaborated with OtterBox to host a panel discussion of six adventurous moms. We talked about getting outside with and without kids of all ages, and it was a real learning experience for me, someone without kids, to hear the skills they've acquired by living and hiking, camping, skiing, climbing, and mountain biking with little ones. That day at the OtterBox booth was the beginning of a conversation I wanted to share with you all. I followed up with five of these adventurous moms afterward, and I'm excited to share their wisdom with you here. The voice you heard at the beginning is Brooke, a mom who's focusing on the cans of motherhood.
My name is Brooke Froelich, and I'm a mom to two kids. I've got a son named Huck that's 4 years old, and then Tatum, who's 8 months old. And we live in Denver, Colorado, and we love to ski and hike and climb, and I'm hoping to get Huck on a mountain bike at some point soon.
I want to gather a group of moms with kids of all different ages who could speak to a range of experiences in the outdoors. I'll let them keep introducing themselves. They can do it best. The next might be a familiar voice. She was on the podcast last autumn.
My name is Melody Forsyth, and I have the Instagram Down With Adventure, and I'm mom to four kids. My oldest, 18, is Angelina, and I have Logan, who's 12, Samuel, who is 9, and Ruby, who is 3.
The full range of ages.
Yes, at every stage, I have them all.
My name is Shont Savage, and I am the mother of a beautiful, very tall, brown boy who I affectionately call Dude, who's 12 years old.
Shont is also on the board of Adventure Mamas, a nonprofit we'll hear more about in a bit, serving her first term.
My name is Jessica Carrillo-Alator, and I am the executive director for Hike It Baby, which is a nonprofit dedicated to getting families outside, especially with their young children in the birth to five space. And my children are Natalie, who's 5, and Elizabeth, who is 2.5.
My name is Heather Balog Roachford, and I am a freelance writer and author in the outdoor industry. And I am a relatively new mama to Liliana, who is almost 2. She turns 2 in October. And I am most excited about my recent book that just came out in June called Women Who Hike.
These are our moms, Brooke, Melody, Shont, Jessica, and Heather. So in preparing for the panel and this episode, I had some questions in mind, but I know I am not an expert in the least on this topic. I'm 33 years old and I have no children. I decided to turn to you, the listeners, through our She Explores podcast Facebook group for questions you might have for these moms. One of the most common ones that came up was, how will my outdoor life change once I have kids? will I still be able to do what I love outside? The answer, comfortingly, is yes. Yes, it probably will change, and yes, you'll probably still be able to do what you love. But it's more personal than that. Here's Jessica, who's the interim executive director at Hike a Baby. For her, the outdoors was where she found solace.
So for me, I think actually I got more active in the outdoors just because I had more of a reason with wanting to get outside with my kids and build healthier habits, and also just found that the outdoors was kind of a calming, safe place for all of us to be. I think something that people don't often tell you when you have a new one is that you're going to go through this whole crying and inconsolable phases with your babies, but often if you just step outside, even just outside your front door, both you and your little one will feel a lot better, and sometimes it's a good way to get them to stop. So I just started that with my first, and once I had my second, just kept doing it, and it's still the place that when I feel like things are just crazy and I can't control anything, I'm like, okay, well, we'll just hit the trail or go to the park, and at least we all feel better about where we are.
For Heather, the adjustment was in slowing down a bit and appreciating nature in a new way.
Especially for the type of activity my husband and I enjoy doing, there was no way they could stay the same. We both enjoy more, I guess what you'd call type 2 fun, extreme, you know, hanging off the side of a mountain type of stuff. And that's not stuff you're going to take a toddler or a newborn on. But we knew that going into it, and it was a conscious choice. So we certainly didn't expect to throw our 6-month baby in a pack raft and paddle through Alaska. But all that said, after she was born, it did take some adjustment. Even though I knew it was going to be the way that it is now, it still took a little bit of time to, I guess, first wrap my head around the new normal, and then second, lose the nostalgia for what was, and then finally for third, accept moving forward that this is our new normal. And, you know, it's great because she's almost 2, like I said. She's spent over 100 nights in a tent already. She hikes with us all the time. We camp all the time. She loves going out on her bike. I take her running all the time. So we still get to get out there and do all these wonderful things. But what it's really taught me is to slow down a little bit, which truthfully, I probably needed. You know, you throw a 2-year-old in a tent and watch her spend 15 minutes evaluating the valve on a sleeping pad, or wander around camp playing with pine cones and pine needles and listening to the birds chirping in the trees. And it kind of brings you back, sounds cheesy, but brings you back to nature in a way that you didn't realize previously. And you realize that maybe your kids are seeing stuff that you don't see. And that part's been really cool.
The postpartum experience is something women don't have a lot of control over, especially when it comes to our bodies. The recovery time that's needed isn't something that's talked a lot about. Melody, who is a labor and delivery nurse, shares some great advice for new mothers.
Well, I certainly understand how some deliveries can be very difficult and even traumatic, as I'm a labor and delivery nurse of 18 years. So I know that recovery can be daunting for some. I basically really just want to say, like, be patient with yourself. Don't compare yourself to other people and how they're recovering, because every delivery is different. So your recovery will be different. And so if you're patient with your body and the way things are going, then I think that you won't be as disappointed or heartbroken, like when things aren't going the way you want them to. And of course, as a nurse, I'm going to say, you know, listen to your doctor. I think it is important to take what they say into consideration, but listen to your body. Like, you know your body better than anybody else. So, you know, just take it easy. Like, being in the outdoors doesn't have to be this hike up a huge mountain. You can still start to get out there little by little, you know, with your baby, with just, you know, walking around the block, starting small, and then, you know, just progressing from there.
Have you found that it can be hard not to compare yourself with other people? Like, other, I feel like there's always these stories of, like, 4 days after delivery, you know, did this incredible thing.
Oh, it's so hard.
Yeah.
People post pictures all the time, like, I'm 2 weeks postpartum and I have no belly and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And that's the thing that I think being a nurse has really taught me is that's what everybody forgets, is that, yeah, a lot of the mechanisms of delivery is all the same for a lot of people, but it is so different. And everybody's body is different and responds to this huge, you know, body change differently. And so it is very hard. It's hard to, because people are posting those pictures out there and some women are doing it, and good for them. Like, that's great. I'm so happy that they're happy with how they're feeling after having a baby. But just, you know, we have to remind ourselves, I even have, you know, remind myself, that's not me. That's not what I'm experiencing. That's not what my body is doing.
Jessica reiterates the importance of stepping outside with infants, despite fear.
Naturally, there's a lot of kind of, I feel like, fear and concern about getting outside with your little one. But then there's also just all the things that they tell you about, like, oh, you don't want to expose them to this or that. But a lot of times, just when you're wearing them, and especially when they're really little, if you're nursing, they're really protected from a lot more than you realize. So just getting them out there a little bit and getting that fresh air, it's so good for both you and the baby that it's really worth making the effort to do.
Yeah, on that note, like, I look out the window now, I'm like, the sun's shining, I need to go outside.
right. and really, like, even for work, right? Like, I think it's something like 15 minutes of just walking outside can really boost your creativity for the day. So it's something we really should all do.
Time for yourself is so necessary, too. Before Shont gave birth, she committed to maintaining an identity outside of mother. And she did it for her son.
So everyone who knows me knows that there was an initial moment of shock once I discovered I was pregnant. But after getting over the shock and sitting with the fact that I would be someone's mother, what was confronting me was the question of what kind of mother I wanted to be to this child. And what I understood is that I would be a pivotal influence for how he lived his life. In other words, I would be a model for what it was to live life to him. And it became really important for me to provide him a set of blueprints that he could reference, to live a life that was purposeful and deliberate, to live a life that I feel would seat him in a space of gratitude and kindness. And then most importantly, to live a life that was passionate. And to me, the best way to give him those tools, it's to model those things for him. When you ask the question of why I maintained other identities outside of being a mom, well, I mean, in order to live a life that I believe is meaningful and passionate, I have to give myself permission to explore other selves and other identities. So that means that outside of being a mom, I have to do these other things that kind of speak to me and speak to my heart and that allow me to continually evolve and to model that for him.
Backpacking, hiking, and travel are three ways Shont carves out time for herself. As I mentioned earlier, she sits on the board of Adventure Mamas. I asked her how they get moms out, and in doing so, create a sense of identity outside of mom.
One of the things that we pride ourselves on at Adventure Mamas is knowing that we, at least at current, are the only nonprofit agency that seeks to empower women to prioritize their own self-care. And these are women, of course, who are mothers. So what we do is we seek to support maternal wellness through providing moms with educational materials. We seek to empower moms through helping them to build community. And for us, community kind of is bifold. We have an online community, mainly through Instagram, of course, but it's a space for sharing. It's a space where you kind of can see what other identities look like on other women going outside, other mothers going outside and doing different things. And I know one thing that we have recently started to talk about is how we use the term badass. So a lot of the times we always talk about celebrate being badass. And for a lot of people who probably visit our page, they think badass are these ultra athletic moms, like the ultra marathoners or the ones who do these extreme sports. For us, we want badass to be anything that you do. So badass could be going outside to play handball. Badass could be going outside and walking around your block. And like for me recently, because a friend reintroduced this to me, it's been roller skating, and it's roller skates with four wheels and the rubber stopper on the front. But it's just like whatever it is for you to kind of create that space for yourself and to kind of be whoever it is you want to be in terms of adventure, that sort of thing. So we create that online community where women can connect and see what adventure looks like on other moms. And then we have 13 regional collabs throughout the United States. And basically, our collabs are spaces that we've created that allow moms to come together and coordinate activities together. So things that you might see happening in our collabs are like hiking events or rock climbing events, sometimes ice climbing events. Could be just a walk in the park, but it's basically moms coming together and coordinating activities in their region for other moms to join them. And we also see like the collabs as a place where moms can share resources and they can kind of create new support systems with each other. And then the last thing that we tend to do is we try to facilitate access to nature and challenge-based activities through the form of what we call expeditions. So far we've had 3 expeditions, and an expedition looks like one was a multi-day backcountry kind of hiking activity where moms went out and they actually learned skills for navigating the backcountry and surviving the backcountry. And then they went out even further a couple of days to utilize those skills. Another expedition that we had was one for ice climbing. And then the most recent one that we had was one that was for wilderness first aid training. And it was designed specifically for mamas by one of our former adventure mamas. She's still an adventure mama. She used to be on our board, but she's off doing her own thing now. So those are kind of some spaces that we've created that we hope help to support women in their want to create space for themselves and to take care of themselves.
We'll hear more from the moms after this. This episode of She Explores is brought to you by OtterBox, whose outdoor line of durable coolers, drinkware, duffels, and dry boxes help fuel both your everyday and extraordinary adventures. You've been hearing the voices from a panel OtterBox hosted with our team at the Outdoor Retailer Trade Show in Denver, Colorado. We're excited to work with their team, not just because their line of outdoor products are perfect for both rugged and everyday adventures, but because the OtterBox team continues to champion the voices of those who want to get out there and try something new. For OtterBox, it's all about having the confidence to do what makes you happy, knowing that you don't have to be extreme in the outdoors to value something that can stand up to the elements. One of the products we got to test out in Denver is the Elevation 14 stainless steel mug, which is available later this summer. Designed to keep your drinks hot or cold with a friendly shape and sturdy handle, this mug is a great companion for every outdoor activity, from a morning at the lake to car camping adventures. It's perfect for coffee or cold beverages and will keep your drink at just the right temperature for hours. With OtterBox, no matter where your adventure takes you, you'll know you have the essentials covered. Because your outdoor experiences don't have to be complicated or intimidating or epic, but with the right gear and an open mind, they're usually fun. Learn more about OtterBox and see their line of outdoor products by heading to otterbox.com. We're back. Before the break, we talked about how Adventure Mamas helps moms carve out time that's just for them without their kids and lets them know that it's okay. Here's Brooke sharing how she makes that time possible for herself.
Finding time for just myself has been a challenge, especially because Tatum is still breastfeeding. So I'm kind of limited to like being gone for 5 or 6 hours is really the max. But the biggest part of that has been able to have a good support network. So, you know, I've got a couple of girlfriends that I've met out here in the last year that we've lived here that are moms that have kids. So when we go climb, we can take turns, you know, jockeying off the kids and climbing, or the same thing for biking, you know, to go camping with some girlfriends for a weekend and then each getting a couple hours to go for a ride without the kids, especially my husband. Like, I don't really post a ton of all of us doing stuff together, but he is a huge support as far as, you know, he will literally send me out the door and tell me to go for a trail run or to go out on my bike, and because he knows it's really important to my personal health and like well-being and emotional well-being. And that's one rule we have when we go skiing as a family, is that both my husband and I will take at least two runs by ourselves, even though like it sometimes can feel kind of hard to break away from the kids, because I really love skiing with Huck. But we force ourselves to go do that, to take that time.
And the breastfeeding aspect is something that I actually wouldn't have thought about too much, like that 5-hour window.
My girlfriend, she's a really cool mom, and she's done all of the 14ers out here. But one thing, when her baby was 5 months old, I think it was maybe her last one, and it was one of her biggest days. And so she took her handheld pump and was pumping on the mountain. Wow. And then, because the big thing is you have to keep your milk supply up. So she was having to pump as they were like on the mountain and then just dump it out. Yeah, when you're determined, you can do it. It's not always that easy, but it can be done.
Heather shares how longer lengths of time away are necessary too.
For Will and I, like I mentioned, we both kind of like grand adventures, some very big adrenaline inducing stuff. So at minimum every year we go on one big, what we call our adults only adventure. And it's 2 weeks long. Liliana stays with either my parents or Will's parents, so she gets some one-on-one grandparent time. And we go do something that we could not do with her at this age. So last year we went to Italy and hiked the Alta Via 4, which has a lot of Via Ferrata exposure, you know, harnesses, ropes, stuff you definitely would not take a toddler on. And this year we actually just got back 6 days ago from Namibia in Africa, where we did a lot of safari and game drive stuff, which we'd love to take her on in later years. But right now the 2-year-old squeals would definitely scare away the lions. So she wasn't allowed to join. But we do that every year just to ensure that we get time together to remember what it's like to be Heather and Will and not Heather and Will parents. Of course, we miss her desperately. I looked at photos of her every single night for up to 30 minutes at a time without shame. But that doesn't mean that it wasn't good for us. We always come back feeling very centered, very secure in our relationship. And it's a good reminder of why we're perfect together. So it's been great. Other than that, grandma and grandpas are great, great help.
So that sounds like a really good investment in you as a couple and probably you as a person too.
It is, because again, you know, personally, I really enjoy that stuff. I enjoy the extremes. I enjoy getting out there. I enjoy being uncomfortable. And usually those uncomfortable situations are what make me feel alive, but those typically aren't the best interest for your kid. So it's a good way to remind me of who I am as a person while still making sure that Liliana's safe.
A lot of making time for yourself comes down to your network, which might be harder for single moms. Shont was single herself for some of Dew's childhood and found time when he was with his dad. I asked Melody whether she has any friends who are single parents and what advice she has.
Yes, I do. And I understand that's certainly a struggle, or even people that like, I don't have family members to ask or friends, or, you know, that wherever they live, they're pretty isolated. And that's where I think that like other hiking groups can help. And, you know, there is the organizations of Hike It Baby and Adventure Mamas, where then it's like, it is an outlet and there are sometimes opportunities, and that I'm, you know, sure people are like, they understand and they get that need to be by yourself, you know. And I, of course, was like, yes, of course, you know, leave your kids with me. Like, that there's a community of women that are willing to help you and try to make it work, because I think we all understand how important that time alone is. You know, you really need to just recoup and, you know, get ready to face the troops again.
Hike It Baby is a nonprofit dedicated to helping young families get outside together on the trail. They have over 300 chapters and over 1,500 community hikes across North America. One tricky thing about hiking with young kids: knowing whether the trail is the right length and difficulty for your family. That's why Hike It Baby recently teamed up with L.L. Bean to create a trail guide. Here's Jessica, executive director at Hike It Baby.
We launched the partnership in January this year, and what we were looking to do was to build a resource, because so often as parents, we found that we were going online and looking at the existing trail guide And so many trails said that they were easy or that they were family friendly. And you get there and you are kind of panicking because it's a lot harder than you expected it to be. You're trying to juggle carrying a baby and climbing over things. Or suddenly you have your toddler and you're like on a waterfall hike in the gorge and there's steep drop-offs that you're worried about. So we wanted to create a guide that we knew was truly family friendly. And so what we did was we reached out to our community members and asked them to start putting in hikes. And we also tried to curate the information in a way that we thought would be beneficial to parents. So there's a lot of information in there about like that includes pictures of the trailhead, pictures of the parking lot. Because often when you get there, there might be a couple choices and you want to make sure you're at the right trailhead. There's information about things that you might want to consider as a parent of a toddler or a new walker. Those kinds of little quick information pieces, things like changing tables, whether there's drinking water available. So we found that it's really helpful and it's a completely free resource. Anybody can use it. We're also always looking for more trails. So if you have a trail and you want to add one, we have a form where you can make the suggestion. But so far there's about 1,200 hikes in there across the country available that people can look up and see where they are. You can go in on the website and it'll show you all the trails that are around you for quick reference. So it's a pretty cool feature.
So when I think about 1,200 trails, there's got to be different like difficulty levels for them. How as a mom do you know what's right for your kid depending on the age that your kid's at?
So I think a lot of it, some of it is age and some of it is the kid themselves too. But in general, like you know when you go like on a hike, a baby hike, for example, we ask our members to try to keep their hikes to trails that are 5 miles or less just because things always happen and if you have to turn around or something, it's still a doable amount to turn around and come back from. And we also rate things kind of just like you would for skiing, where there's green for easy, blue for medium or moderate, and black is kind of harder or more difficult. But for me, I always look at, like, especially because my kids hike on their own 2 feet now, so I try to look a lot at terrain and just knowing that there's not a lot of steep drop-offs because my kids are still in this phase where they like to kind of run ahead and do their own exploring. Places that have, like, a lot of loop options are really popular for my family because with our 2.5-year-old especially, some days, she just wants to meander and we've accomplished like a mile in an hour and a half. And other days she's really going after it and she'll do the whole, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 miles that we've planned. So knowing that we have those options to kind of cut it short or add extra distance if we're up for it is also a nice thing.
Brooke enjoys activities like downhill skiing and mountain biking, so she wants to share them with her kids, even though they might be a little more challenging. Here's Brooke.
It just kind of became a thing that I learned that if I wanted to be able to do something regularly, I needed to share that with my kids. It brings me so much joy, and I love seeing them start to get their own joy from it, especially Huck. Now that he's 4, it's really fun to take him on a hike or to take him skiing and to see how excited he gets.
What was it like introducing him to downhill skiing?
Oh my gosh, yeah. Like taking him downhill skiing was like, it is like the pinnacle of my human existence. Like I think the first time I clicked him into skis, he was probably 20 months old. He was probably about 16 months old. And it was more just standing him up and sliding him. You know, like I went with my girlfriend Caroline and we just kind of pulled his hands and like, just for the experience of a little gliding. And actually, like the first year that he was on skis, he didn't really love it that much. But the second year that we took him skiing, it was right before he turned 3, it clicked for him and he loved it. And that was really, just sharing that with him is, it's really dorky, but it's really probably the best part of my life so far. It's been a high, a major high.
That's great. What were some of the considerations that you had, like, in taking him out? Like, you had to think about him being warm enough, like safety, like what were some of the things that were on your mind, especially when, as he's gotten a little bit older and he's more able to not be independent, but like it's more like he's skiing than that first time you took him out?
Yeah, I think the one thing, because I've really got, I feel like I've got a good handle on the comfort, like his layering systems to keep him warm, and the risk, you know, especially for in the backcountry, we go on very safe terrain on safe days. But the big thing I learned quickly was that if it didn't feel fun, he wouldn't want to go again. And so that's one lesson that has kind of bled over into all of the approach for all of our outdoor things, is that it has to feel fun to him. So a lot of days when we go skiing, we're stuck. I mean, my husband's been really good at this. Sometimes they'll go skiing and they'll just be in the snow mid-run making snow angels. And that like that frustrates me, but Hug loves it. And some days that you kind of have to follow their lead a little bit. So skiing's been great to teach me how to follow his lead in all of the kind of outdoor stuff we do. And I'll kind of add this one tip I learned from someone. When we first were teaching him how to ski, I asked one of the head guides at Ski Utah any tips for kids. And he said to take them away while they're having fun doing it instead of when they're tired. And so that's one thing we've learned, is to take Huck to the car when he's like at his high for the day. So a lot of times he'll be like screaming for one more run, which is great, because then he is dying to go back. And on days that we pushed him until the very end, we're all kind of miserable at that point.
Mm. That last memory lasts the longest, it seems.
Yep.
How, when your kids are running around, how do you deal with like any worry or anxiety that you might have about them?
I still have to work on it. I still have to remind myself. But a lot of it is just communicating. We try to have some rules. So like with my 5-year-old, it's true for my 2.5-year-old too, but I keep her a little bit closer than I do my 5-year-old. It's that she needs to stay where I can see her all the time. And sometimes, you know, I mean, kids will challenge the rules. So we try to make it a game. I play a lot of like red light, green light on the trail, because then, you know, at least it's not like, oh, mom's yelling at me again, I'm just going to ignore her. It's like, oh, we're playing a game, it's more fun. this is another place that Hike a Baby is really helpful, because again, with extra parents on the trail, I have a little bit more breathing room to know that there are more parents ahead of us that will kind of stop them from going too far, or that there's a free hand to either hold on to my 2.5-year-old while I run ahead, or that they can run ahead and grab the kids that are too far ahead. So kind of that team effort is always nice.
Melody is the mom behind the Instagram handle Down With Adventure. As we heard in the episode last fall, her youngest daughter Ruby has Down syndrome. A question that popped up in the She Explores podcast Facebook group was advice for navigating the outdoors with a child who has special needs.
My biggest considerations is, you know, we make sure we plan. She, you know, needs supplies, that it's not something I can't just wing it, like, oh, we found some granola bars or fruit snacks, if it's stuff that she can't properly swallow. So I need to make sure I have proper supplies. And, you know, we have to do diaper changes on the trail too. And, you know, all that extra fun stuff that you don't necessarily anticipate. So it's planning and then like knowing, researching trails. So obviously I mean, especially when I'm with my kids, we take into consideration, you know, your elevation gain and how long it is and how difficult or treacherous the trail is, so that it's something that it's appropriate that they can feel successful too, and we can all have a good time and it's not completely miserable. So the biggest thing is like research and then just prepare. I honestly think that's the biggest consideration. And then honestly, like the biggest thing is just get out there and do it. Like in whatever capacity you're able to. You know, if I could say one thing to moms that have children who are different, you know, the more we take our children out there, the more we show the world how wonderful and how beautiful they are and how capable they are of so many different things. I just feel like there will be more acceptance of them, and it won't be something that people will like. I know I've heard from some special needs, you know, moms or dads that they're like, I don't want people looking at my kid when they're on the trail and thinking, you know, and I understand where that comes from. But honestly, if we just show, they're like, look, they're getting out here. They love the outdoors just like any other child, you know, they're just soaking it all in. And so just don't be afraid to get out there. Find what works for you and your family. Just get out there and do it.
We all know outdoor gear is expensive, and it can be pricey for kids too. Heather's tips for minimizing costs include online marketplaces like Craigslist, and another one I hadn't heard of.
I also really have found good luck with a site called Nextdoor. I've been told that only some communities use it and some don't, but ours in particular seems to be very active. And so it's people that are in your neighborhood, but they'll put stuff up that they're either trading or selling or bartering. You know, it's kind of however people want to run it. That's been really great. And then the last one that I've had really good luck with is like Facebook Marketplace. You know, they have different neighborhood buy, sell, trade pages, and it's hit or miss, but I kind of peruse through there on occasion, and occasionally I'll come across something really, really good. Like I've had great luck with snowsuits and snow boots on there in particular. So those have kind of been my tried and true options.
Beyond online marketplaces, Brooke recommends tapping into your community.
We have like a hiking mom Facebook group in our area that we started. And I think if you have those kinds of online communities, really just asking friends that aren't using gear. And it's not always even the approach of buying the gear, but it's kind of like, can I use this for a season? Because these ski boots will fit for one season and then they won't fit again. And so I think finding that community and not necessarily looking to buy, but also just to use for a season and return back to your friends, that's been one thing we've done. Another thing is, you know, maybe just finding those few key pieces that you are investing in and planning to invest and to use them over the years. Like we have a chariot and they're super expensive, but it's really been the one piece of gear that we use several times a week. And we've had, you know, we'll use it for years. We've used it already for Huck for coming up on 3.5 years. And so I think it's, you know, being selective with what gears you invest in and really making that investment and planning to use it and hand it down. And then, yeah, just finding people in your community that you can either buy used from or you can borrow for a season.
Another topic that you are curious about is how these mothers use the outdoors as a place for education, particularly as it relates to colonialism, land acknowledgement, and conservation. Here's Shone.
When I hear the question, as a woman of color, I immediately go to the portion around colonization. Raising a beautiful black boy who at 12 years old is already 5'7" tall, knowing that someday he will be a very tall black man, it makes it necessary for me to talk about colonization. There's no choice in my life. There's no choice in dude's life. We have to have a talk of what colonization is and the impact of colonization. And the impact is something that as people of color, we live every day. We have to navigate systems of oppression as well as interface with systems of privilege for people that don't look like us. So, you know, when I hear the question of education, for me, there is the piece of education around that. It's not an if in my household. It's a must, and it's more of a when. When will we have in-depth talks about this? Because in truth, to be completely transparent, I have worked to shelter him a little bit. Because the reality is, once he's exposed to this reality, I can't undo it. I can't untaint or uncolor, no pun intended, how he will then have to filter life here in this country. So when you segue this to the outdoors, The ability to talk about colonization and their impact on people and communities of color allows us to also talk about how these lands that we currently inhabit, how they were stolen from indigenous communities, and what we can do, how we can begin to show some respect for those communities, for those tribes, is through land acknowledgement. The power in a name is immeasurable. Land acknowledgements are a show of respect, and I think most importantly, they're a way that you begin to write a history that corrects some of the wrong, never all of the wrong, but some of the wrong to Indigenous folks. You begin to rewrite a history that is inclusive of them, as it should be, because we're still in this space on these lands that still, in terms of when you look back at the ancestry of this country, it still belongs to them. Therefore, it's still stolen. Yeah. The other piece I'd like to say is that I really seek to educate Dude from a position of power, never one where there is a promotion of fear or scarcity, but always one of abundance and power. And it's also, teaching him the power of his voice, the power of his choice, and the power of his actions.
Brooke emphasizes that she's learning with her kids.
So where Huck is at his stage, where he's four now, there's a lot of education that feels very natural to him on the trail, where we're talking about leave no trace practices. We're talking about our resources and how beautiful the earth is, because you can't really expect people in their 20s or 30s or 40s or later to really care about wanting to recycle or take care of the earth unless they've really kind of had that experience of loving it. And so that has felt like a really easy and natural place to teach them. And honestly, there's a lot going on right now in the outdoor industry about, learning about public lands and learning about the origins of who land belonged to. And I feel like I'm learning that so much right now. I didn't know anything about it, 3 years ago. And so where it's appropriate, I'm including Huck in those conversations with me as I'm learning. And so instead of me being just a teacher to him, there's a lot that we're learning together.
We've talked a lot about keeping little kids safe and engaged in the outdoors, but how can they stay engaged as they get older, especially in their teen years? Luckily, both Melody and Shont can speak from experience. Here's Melody.
Yeah, I think you learn, like every child, they have a different relationship with the outdoors. So you kind of find what they connect with, and it's going to be different for all of them. And I have an 18-year-old that it willingly admits she hates hiking and she doesn't like it, but she comes along. And a lot of time I've asked her, like, why do you do it? Even though you complain and get upset and don't want to do it. And you whine the whole time, but she's just like, 'cause I know it makes you happy, Mom. And I know that you're happy that we're all together. And, I certainly appreciate that, because it is like, we're making memories, even with the disasters or whatever, like they remember those things, and we're creating memories that I know that they will, that will last. And so like, usually what I really like to do is involve them in the planning. That seems to be the most successful thing, that they get to help me, choose the trail, pick what we want to see. Like, hey, do you want to go do this? Or do you want to see a waterfall? Or do you want to go to a lake? It's what they're interested in. And, snacks, food, food never fails. Like, you can bribe your kids. And that usually works too. But honestly, it's just, I think they start to learn, like, if you start them out young, like, it's just that, okay. Like, even Ruby, it's amazing to watch. She already knows. We pull out the pack, she knows what it is, and she comes on over and so she can get into it, because all right, we're going for a hike now. And even with the other children, though, like, I didn't start them out young, but just being consistent and taking them out has made such a huge difference. And then it's such an amazing bonding experience. So I just love it. And then they know during that time, like, they have my undivided attention. And I think that's also that's a part of what they actually enjoy, is that they have me all to themselves. And so the conversations that we've had and things we're able to talk about, it's really been awesome and it's brought us all closer together.
How do you hope to keep
dude
engaged in the outdoors as he gets older?
Right. So what I do is I tend to pay attention to how he interacts with nature and always keeping a pulse on. I always keep a pulse on what he's interested in. So, for example, the kid's a fish. He loves the water. And one of the ways that I look to make hiking interesting to him, the way that I tried to make it an intriguing event for him, was when he was little, we would always hike to a waterfall, which he loved. And so it became this big adventure. Well, of course, you get a little older. Waterfalls don't carry the same weight with all boys like mine. But what I realized is that we would go to the terminus of our hike, and if there were rocks or even like a rock wall, this kid would just like start scaling it, and just so intuitively. And so, you know, just by paying attention to him, it's kind of like, okay, he likes rocks. So one of the ways that I make outside exciting is I find some hikes that usually have like maybe a small scramble, or I know that there's an area where there's some rocks that he can play on, that sort of thing. And so far, that's been a thing that has really kind of kept him intrigued. He complains. Don't get me wrong. He complains when I'm like, let's go hiking. Oh, no, not again. But once we're outside, like, you give him a few minutes, and once that body, that long body of his starts to move, he forgets that he complains about being out there. But then if you add some rocks to it, it's a super fun time. So, you know, the next step for us is we're going to take this bouldering class together. And I'm hoping that I can kind of expand our outdoor activity to include some bouldering as well.
This is another one of those tip of the iceberg episodes. There's a world in each one of these questions. But luckily, there are resources and organizations out there to help you dig deeper. Each one of these women, Shon, Brooke, Heather, Melody, and Jessica, have a wealth of knowledge. And they're proof of what you learn when you get out there with your kids. We started the episode with some thoughts from Brooke on everything you can do. And I want to end with words from her as well about the happiness we can find out there and the way it's contagious.
You know, I remember when Huck was just a few months old, I was at a time in my life where I was going through a lot of change, and I was nursing him, and I was really stressed out about finances, and it was becoming apparent that I was going to be getting a divorce. And so there was a lot of stress. And I remember looking down at him, and I saw him studying my face. And I know in my face, I my brows were, you know, very furrowed. And I just remember that moment. It was apparent to me that my own personal emotional health was really important, and it was important that my kids saw me as happy and healthy, and that was a big motivator for me to keep getting outside, was so my kids saw that their mom was strong and, you know, and happy. And so that's been kind of a running part of my relationship with my kids and my relationship with the outdoors, is they see me as the best and strongest mom that I am when I'm taking care of those needs. And I help getting out with them too, that they feel that same sort of happiness, and that they can always find that someone there in their adult life. They remember that being outdoors is a place for them to be happy and to be taking care of their spirits.
Thank you to Shon, Brooke, Heather, Melody, and Jessica for taking the time to talk. Thanks as well to Morgan Breschler for joining us at the Otterbox booth for our live panel. You can learn more about them and the organizations they represent by heading to our show notes and the episode landing page via she-explores.com. Big thank you to Otterbox for collaborating on this special episode and elevating the voices of moms at Outdoor Retailer. Learn more about them by heading to otterbox.com. You can find out more about She Explores by heading to our website, she-explores.com and support the show by leaving us a review wherever you listen and joining the She Explores podcast Facebook group. With over 5,000 members, it's an encouraging place to share your outdoor endeavors, projects, and to connect with previous guests of the show. It's also a great place to ask any questions you might have about this episode. Music is by Josh Woodward, Lee Rosevere, and Kay Engel, using the Creative Commons Attributions License via Free Music Archive. Until next week, have fun out there.